name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. I'd like to extend my preaching topic from last night into this morning by learning and being blessed by the story of the wise men following that Bethlehem star or that Christmas star. I first want to mention the contrast between the wise men and Herod. Herod did not make a big deal about the star in the sky that shined brighter than any other star. Herod only made a big deal about the wise men making a big deal about the bright star in the sky. For all that we don't know about the wise men, the one thing that we can say positively about them is that they looked up. They marveled at the sky. They wondered at the sky. Herod, on the other hand, looked down. Looking down is being concerned first and last about the things of this world and not acknowledging that there's a world beyond you. That Herod would do anything to maintain that world that was his is not an exaggeration, as many of the slain infants of that region testify. Because there were so many charlatans and imposters that claimed power to tell the future and read the stars, no one in a high government position like that of Herod's would have paid attention to the Magi coming to them saying, "We're reading the stars," unless they actually came from the Magi College in the East, and there was such a thing. Those of the Magian College were learned men. They were considered both astronomers and astrologers. Astronomers measure the celestial bodies and note the laws of physics occurring between the planets. Astrologers are people who believe that they can predict human behavior by reading the stars in heaven. Astrology is condemned in Scripture, again mentioned last night, for two reasons. The first reason is that it is false. Stars in the sky don't tell the future. It is that simple. The second reason is that God wants His people to look to Him and to Him alone for their future. So, what is the reason or purpose for this Magi visiting Jesus? Well, the church calendar tells us it's because the Gentile world is included, and that's true, and we will celebrate that. But there is even more to it, and we'll try to discover that this morning. But this is what we know about the Magi. Little history lesson. The ancient historian Herodotus tells us that they were a priestly tribe for the Medes. They were priests, much like the Levites were priests for Israel. They were priests for the Medes, and then the Persians, and then the Babylonians. And they were considered to be providing divine information on a daily matters for government affairs. Kings would look to them literally for advice. We see them interacting most assuredly in the book of Daniel. And it is quite likely that Daniel, being among the Magi in Babylon, helps to explain why those in the Magian profession actually cared about or thought about or predicted when a Jewish king would come. We remember that this is the very thing that Daniel prophesied would happen, a king would come. Daniel prophesied the rebuilding of Jerusalem after the Babylonians destroyed it in the 6th century. He also said, you remember our study from Daniel, that 490 years would pass from that command to rebuild Jerusalem until the world-embracing messianic kingdom would emerge in the region of Palestine. Now, there is assuredly lack of specifics in Daniel's prophecy, and that led to a lot of speculation as to when this Messiah would come. Most Jews were certain enough about the prophecies of Daniel to believe that it would occur sometime around the first century. And the Jewish historian Josephus confirms this, for he lived in that time and knew of that expectation. And there can be no doubt that the Magi in Mesopotamia would have been aware of the prophetic indications among the Jews. In fact, scholars today are able to see that there was a great deal of mingling between the Jews and the Magi in that period of time. This was because, again, that connection of Daniel in the 6th century B.C. Interestingly, most Jews respected the Magi in the East. And this was not only because of their former association with Daniel the prophet, but also because they were not idolaters. Though the Magi believed in the power deities that were manifested, let's say, in water and air and earth and fire, what set them apart from all the others around them is that they did not make images to worship. Thus, the Jews of the first century respected the Magi. The Jewish philosopher by the name of Philo, who lived in Alexandria, Egypt, during the time of Jesus, spoke of the Magi with warm praise. Philo said they were men who gave themselves to the study of the laws of nature, and they contemplated the divine perfections. Philo considered them worthy counselors of the kings of the region. Now, when you examine the text in Matthew that describes the Magi coming, when you examine it carefully, you find that when the Magi speak to Herod, they don't just say, "We have seen a star," but the Greek word actually means, "We have seen a rising star." The plain meaning is that the Magi had witnessed a star rise above the eastern horizon. It was a moving star, and thus could match what we said last night concerning the alignment of Jupiter and Venus. Also, there must have been some unusual relationship with the star with other celestial bodies. The Magi were so impressed that they made their long, difficult journey to Jerusalem with costly gifts to present to this new king. After hearing their account, King Herod and all Jerusalem were equally persuaded that something was very important about this star. And there is no doubt that the New Testament is using normal astronomical terms to describe this event. The narrative clearly shows that the Magi observed this ordinary star or planets aligning above the eastern horizon, and they interpret it as the sign of the King of the Jews, now in his nativity period. It was one star that intrigued them. And it was the Holy Spirit that moved on their hearts, that moved on their minds to go and see what this symbolized. You should know also, if you remember your history, that this was a period of time when astrological interpretations were made by first-class professionals. Every nation used the stars to try to figure out whether they would win a battle or lose, whether they should go out and conquer or remain in protection. So confident was the Roman government about predicting the future in the skies that 60 years before Jesus was born, the Roman Senate ordered that all boy babies must not be allowed to live in 63 BC because an astrological forecast said that a king to the Romans would be born. This earlier event would have been well known by Herod and the people throughout the Roman Empire. And indeed, Caesar Augustus was born in 63 BC. And this is very likely what stirred Herod on to realize, if that was true about Caesar Augustus, it's going to be true again, only it means that I'm the one on the outs. And this is the purpose now to the star, the purpose of the Magi. Their purpose was to pronounce the presence of a king. Of course, he was not just any king or just another king. He was and is the King of Kings. He is what all earthly kings want to be, but cannot be. The importance of the birth of Jesus is underlined and highlighted by the visit of the Magi and by the response of Herod to this newborn king. As the book of Revelation describes, the devil sought to destroy the one born of a virgin. Herod became a tool, a vehicle that would destroy the child if it were possible. It is most certainly sad and very true and real that the devil uses people to do his bidding. And they don't know it. Men and women who give themselves over to emotions like anger and bitterness then become a tool of the devil to use that anger and bitterness to hurt people. Those who have given themselves over to hate think that they are making their own choices when in fact their choice to be given over to anger and bitterness, well, that was their last choice. What they do afterward is guided by the devil. Herod had given himself over to pride and vainglory. Before the birth of Jesus, he had declared himself king of Judea. He has been described as a madman who murdered his own family and a great many rabbis. Also described as an evil genius of the Jewish nation and prepared to commit any crime in order to gratify his unbounded ambition. Thus the devil could use Herod in any way he wanted, and he wanted to kill the Son of God. The Feast of the Holy Innocents is to be celebrated 3 days from now in remembrance of that massacre ordered by Herod for all the boys of Bethlehem in the region, ages 2 and under, to be killed. Such is the nastiness of the devil. And it should be noted that such nastiness is evidence that the devil really had no true knowledge of God's will. He did not know where the baby Jesus was born. He could not find the Son of God. His powers only extended as far as God allows them. And even now they are minimized because Jesus has overcome sin and death. Now this hate of Herod reminded me of a story that I read this past week. In Lansing, Michigan, the Detroit chapter of the Satanic Temple set up a snake-tivity scene. Snake-tivity scene. Near the Capitol building. It featured a snake offering a book called The Revolt of the Angels as a symbolic gift. The snake is wrapped around a satanic cross, a cross upside down. It was a 3 feet by 3 feet display. The group says it does not worship Satan, but promotes individuality, compassion, and views outside of Christian and many conservative beliefs, explained Jex Blackmore. What an appropriate name, Blackmore. Satanic Temple spokesperson. A picture of the group has them all wearing black and gray, and every word that comes out of their mouth is an expression of anger and hate. The group is an example of what the devil continues to try to do when the birth of the Son of God is celebrated. But of course, it does not matter. It doesn't matter what the Herod types do. They can lust for power all that they like. The devil can use them in whatever manner he thinks will promote hate, evil, and bring forth death. He can use ordinary people living ordinary lives to try to distract the world from true joy, beauty, and unconditional love. But it does not matter. Jesus was born. He was born King of Kings. And the visit of the Magi tells the world He is King of Kings. He was not King of the Jews only, but King of all creation. And so I close with this following poem, written by Cecil Francis Alexander, titled The Adoration of the Wise Men. Saw you never in the twilight when the sun had left the skies, up in heaven, the clear stars shining through the gloom like silver eyes? So of old the wise men watching saw a little stranger star, and they knew the king was given and they followed it from afar. Heard you never of the story? How they crossed the desert wild, journeyed on by plain and mountain till they found the Holy Child? How they opened all their treasure, kneeling to that infant king, gave the gold and fragrant incense, gave the myrrh in offering? Know ye not that lowly baby was bright and morning star, he who came to light the Gentiles and the darkened isles afar? And we too may seek his cradle, there our heart's best treasures bring, love and faith and true devotion for our Savior, God and King. Amen.